الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran, is broken up into two halves. And in the first part of the surah, Allah talks extensively about a nation that was chosen before us to carry the flag of Islam, the children of Israel. And after making a long list of the mistakes historically that they had made, the biggest one of them being not accepting the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he wasn't from among them, Allah Azza wa Jal switches the subject over and starts talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is curious because Ibrahim alayhi salam is actually being used as an evidence for the Israelites that if you're arguing that the messenger should be from a chosen lineage, well, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is from chosen lineage because he's from the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But while talking about Ibrahim in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah actually mentions how he was building the foundations of the house along with his son Ismail. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُوا إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. How Allah was, you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam was building the foundations of the house, the Kaaba, along with Ismail alayhi salam, asking Allah to accept the effort that they're making in the middle of in the middle of the desert in Mecca. Now after that, Allah Azza wa Jal gave the final warning to Banu Israel, to the children of Israel. And up until then, many of you know that the Prophet ﷺ used to actually pray towards Jerusalem. He used to pray towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But now the revelation came after reminding us that the house was built by Ibrahim ﷺ in the Kaaba. Then the shift happened and now the Muslims started praying towards the Kaaba. This was a major shift and actually even offended Banu Israel. Why are the Muslims praying in this direction? It offended them because they realized now the capital of Islam, the identity of Islam has shifted. The shift has happened from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa to the Kaaba. So the direction of our prayers switching to the Kaaba actually fundamentally has to do with our identity as Muslims and our part of our identity being we are a continuation of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we are to this day fulfilling the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam that he made alongside his son Ismail alayhi salam. So now the prayer is a fundamental part of our identity, and the direction in which we pray, meaning the Kaaba, is a fundamental part of our identity. Now coming to the matter of Hajj. You see, Hajj itself is a celebration and a commemoration of the sacrifices made by Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah made it a fundamental pillar of our deen. For anyone who's capable, they should and absolutely go to Hajj. So the first point I wanted to make is how essential. And by the way, if you look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, it all culminates. The final conclusion of the entire thing is actually the liberation of the house of Allah, the removal of all of the idols, so only one God can be worshipped. The house of Ibrahim ﷺ can be purified once again. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Having said all of that, every year when the Muslims go to Hajj, they are actually reliving the victory and the fulfillment of the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when we go as an ummah there, we are reminded of the entire seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the entire seerah of Ibrahim alaihi salam, along with the promise we as a people made to Allah that we are going to carry this mission, carry this Islam to the rest of humanity. We rejuvenate that as a people every single year in this divine convention that is Hajj. Having said all of that, that's about us as a people, but what about us as an individual? What about each one of us that goes as an individual? You see, we have to understand that Hajj at the same time is the most personal experience you'll ever have. And at the same time, it's the most, probably the most communal experience you'll ever have. Millions of people dressed exactly the same way, doing exactly the same thing, fulfilling exactly the same rituals. It's incredible. Like, there's nothing like it in the world, you know? So at the same time, it's so collective, and at the same time, it's so individual. Now, I highlighted to you the benefits of it in the collective sense, that it rejuvenates our sense of identity and our sense of identifying with the life of the Prophet ﷺ and his mission. But in the individual sense, Allah Azza wa Jal describes this. This is the ayah that I wanted to share with you. ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْسُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then pour out from where the people pour out, meaning Muzdalifah in the ayah, and then Allah says, and ask Allah for forgiveness. This is the once in a lifetime opportunity when you're sitting in Arafat, when you're sitting in Muzdalifah, when you're sitting, you know, when you're performing the rituals of Hajj. This is the lifetime opportunity to make dua to Allah like you've never made before. You've left everything behind. You're wearing the clothes you should practically be buried in, you know, and you're just sitting there and you are just turning to Allah and there's nothing left between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's it. And you're in a place that itself is a kind of death. In other words, Mecca, there's no livelihood there. There's nothing there except the Kaaba and the miraculous spring of Zamzam that Allah Azza wa Jal brought out. Other than that, there's really no life there. Even Ibrahim would describe, alayhi salam, this place as biwadin ghayri dhi dhar'in, a valley that has absolutely no cultivation whatsoever. Subhanallah. That is the place that we go to remind ourselves that we have stripped ourselves of all dunya and we are just turning to Allah in forgiveness. But in this ayah, Allah did not say, wastaghfirullah wallahu ghafurur rahim. Seek forgiveness of Allah, and Allah is forgiving, extremely forgiving, always loving and merciful. He in fact said, wastaghfirullah inna Allah ghafurur rahim. Seek Allah's forgiveness, for sure, no doubt about it, Allah is extremely forgiving, always loving and merciful. The benefit in inna Allah ghafurur rahim in this beautiful ayah is that Allah is giving us a kind of guarantee that if we do our hajj right and we truly turn to Allah in forgiveness, then Allah is guaranteeing us that He will be forgiving and loving and merciful towards us. So I pray that this year and every year that comes after, that Allah, not only Allah gives you, those of you that haven't had the ability to go to Hajj, that Allah makes you capable and opens the rizq for you, that you can go and perform this remarkable ritual. And secondly, that when you go, that you earn Allah's forgiveness, that your istighfar and your du'as for your rizq, for your family, and more important than anything else, your salvation on the Day of Judgment, all of those du'as are fulfilled. Make a good collection of du'as before you go, so you complete, fill every second with ibadah, with worship, and with asking Allah for what you need to ask of Him. And I finally pray that we as a people, every time we experience this remarkable journey of Hajj, our sense of commitment to the work of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the struggle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is rejuvenated, and our job as an ummah, what is supposed to be our job as an ummah, is refreshed in our hearts. Barakallahu li wa lakum, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.